Hello and
Blog
welcome.
Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the monthly Conference for Women's show office hours. Today we will be talking about transformation in times of change. I know we could all use a little bit of that. I'm your host, Samantha Edis. I write about working moms for Forbes and host a radio show for working moms. And today my guest is Ann Joles, who's an author, speaker, and life coach focused on living life more productively and positively. Ann, welcome to the show.
Hi, Samantha. I'm really happy to be here.
We're so glad to have you. So just to begin, I'd love to hear a little bit, what are we talking about when we talk about change?
Well, I think that the really important thing that everyone should get is that everything's changing all the time, and we all resist change. And if you understand that it's like human nature to resist change, and recognize that in yourself, then it's not such a mystery why change is so difficult for so many of us.
But sort of in a very concrete level, when we talk about change, what kind of changes are typical for people really struggling?
Well, I think that a typical client for me who may call me because they're struggling with change, I had a client who I worked with for quite a while. She called because her company had gone through multiple layers of layoffs, and she was finding she was so distracted at work and so nervous about her possibly being laid off that she called, and we were able to work with her, with her mindset. We worked out a plan for her. She decided to stay in the company and not leave and look for another job. So that's quite prevalent in this in these times.
So talking about sort of career changes or financial changes or maybe personal changes even?
I think all of the above, Samantha. All of the above. When, you know, with life coaching, you know, you talk about what people are doing in their life and that's their work. And then, of course, the person has to show up in their life and that's the being in their life. And so it's very hard with life coaching to draw a line down the middle and say this is exactly what I do, because it's really about the personal side and the professional and business side. There's just not a really straight line in the middle.
Right. And by the way, for those of us, for those people out there listening who want to join the conversation on Twitter, you can absolutely tweet about the show at Mass Women, MASS Women, Penn Women, or Texas Women. Those are the hashtags we will be using today. So, but before, you know, we had a chance to speak a little bit before, and
yeah.
You had mentioned one entrepreneur that you worked with that it sounds like was a really interesting story. Can you sort of share with the audience a little bit more about that?
I'd love to. This actually is a story. She's not one of my clients, but she's in my community, and I've come to really love this story. One evening last spring, I had to run out and pick something up around 7 o'clock at night. As I was driving out of my neighborhood, I have a field on each side. It was this beautiful full moon. So I just want you to picture it, because I know it's hard on the radio, Samantha, to tell a story. But at the end of the street, in my headlights, I saw all of these transparent, shiny things going across, almost ghost-like. And as I drove up closer, I noticed these were huge, gigantic bubbles. So I looked to my left, and there in the middle of the field is a woman standing, blowing bubbles. So I rolled down my window and said, "Can I join you?" She said, "Sure, come on over." So I stopped my car, and I ran over to her. And there she was with this stick and this string, and she had it in a bucket of water. And she almost looked witch-like, because if you can picture a full moon behind this woman. And it was crazy. I feel like I attract these kinds of stories, but it's true. So she's standing there, and she told me that she's a single mom. She got a babysitter so that she could come down because the wind was just right, and she was practicing blowing large bubbles because she was entering the contest for the Guinness Book of World Records largest floating soap bubble, and it was happening the next weekend. So here she is practicing this in her in the field. And, you know, that's just my kind of story. She explained that, yeah, I said, "How did you get into this? How did you start this?" I mean, these bubbles were 8 feet. They were huge. They were like lumbering elephants. She explained that she was a single mother and that she had no, she was unemployed. This was a few years ago, and it was her, going to be her son's birthday, and she couldn't afford a really good birthday party. So she decided, she said, what's in my control? I could blow bubbles. I can afford bubbles. So she went and she researched how to not only blow bubbles, but how to blow big bubbles. And it was such a success at the birthday party, the kids loved it, that parents started asking her if she'd come to their birthday parties and blow bubbles. Well, if you fast forward this entrepreneurial story, she now has a business where she works doing parties and events, and she works for corporations and businesses who want something different to come into their events.
That's so wild.
Isn't that wild? It's a great story. So she had to find, in the beginning, she had no resources, no money, and she went online to Yahoo, and if you can imagine this, Samantha, she found a bubble community called Soap Bubble Fanciers, and she got all her questions answered on how to make the best bubble. So this woman didn't stop there. She actually went and she test marketed her product. She went to a beach, stood on a seawall, put a bucket down because she didn't have money, put the bucket down and blew bubbles and huge bubbles. And people just were extremely generous, which funded her research. And she developed a bubble solution product that she sells at all her events. And she developed a bubble wand. And this is a woman who had nothing and was creative and innovative because of necessity. And, you know, I tell you this story because resilient people, those are people who bounce during adversity, which is what we're talking about today. How do you see opportunity in times of challenge and change? Resilient people are optimists. They actually believe, just as this woman, Megan Parker, believes, that they can change things for the better.
So well, one not, of the things okay. I love about your story is in the beginning yeah. you said that you attract these people.
Yeah.
And it's you know what, it's a great thing about your personality that you attract these people. And the reason you attract them, what you're calling attract them, but it's really that you're curious.
Right.
And when you're curious, curiosity leads to opportunities.
That's exactly right. And what I like to say to people is I'm a life coach, and I work so hard at being curious. I'm glad you said that, because curiosity leads to opportunity. Curiosity leads to interesting people and interesting things.
Right.
And if we can hold curiosity and be curious, really interesting things show up in your life.
That's
and
right.
Yeah, an interesting thing is, I just want to tell you because everyone asks me this, the best part of the story is she broke the Guinness World Record for the largest free-floating soap bubble.
Wow.
And yes, it's really a cool story. And like I said, I tell that because she had to start somewhere. And she, you know, she just put this together. And then she does it because she's a curious person. This is not an endeavor for everyone. But this is a woman who, you know, was curious, was creative, was imaginative, and she now has a business. And
so let's shift to talk. I mean, she sounds amazing, right? And if everyone sort of had her drive and her resilience, then no one would struggle in times of change. And so
right.
How do you talk to the person who maybe is a different kind of person, the person who is the kind of person who says, of course it would rain on my birthday, you know, more of a negative
yep.
person.
Right.
How do you handle that kind of person in times of change?
Well, that's one of the first things that you work on with anyone who's being challenged or facing adversity or are being forced to change and maybe they don't want to change. The first thing that I work on as a coach is I help them to monitor and regulate their own emotions. You have to be able to foster a mindset that will allow you to succeed. And neurologically, our brain is always looking for what's wrong. I mean, really, we're always saying we're not smart enough, we're not rich enough, we're not beautiful enough. And that's our brain always searching for the negative and the danger because it's your brain's job to keep you safe. It's our job to be in control of our brain and to basically say, thanks, brain, for trying to keep me safe, but let's start focusing on some of the positives. Let's discover my strengths. Let's focus on my strengths. So really monitoring and regulating your own emotions is the very first step to getting more resilient, because your brain will say things like, oh, we can't go, we'll never find a parking space. Oh, it always rains on my day off. Oh, I never succeed at that. That's what our brain does. So we have to take that back in our control and then stay focused and intent on what our goals are.
Does that answer your question? Yeah.
So
once you kind of achieve a more positive outlook, what kind of important questions are there to ask yourself during sort of a challenging time?
Well, the most resilient and tough people in the world ask themselves two questions. And if everyone on the show walks away with these two questions and start using them, they're going to be more effective in their life. The first question is, when times get tough, the first question you ask is, what's in my control? And the second question you ask is, what's out of my control? Because if you were to do a survey and watch people and count up the amount of time they spend focusing on what's out of their control, you would be shocked. Now, if we can take that and answer that question as quickly as possible during adversity and start to focus on what's actually in your control so that you can be more effective and you can work towards a solution.
So why don't you name some things that people mistakenly think are in their control but are not?
The future. People think they can control the future. We all think that if we put this fabulous plan in place and we do step-by-step plan that it's linear and the outcome is, you know, going to happen. It's not. We have to all plan for lots of things happen out of our control. I think that if people can look at their plan and say, I am going to make some mistakes here. There are going to be some failures here. And I'm just going to, when those show up, I'm going to do my best to fix them and keep moving on, because we just can't control all the factors that go into an outcome. We can only put our best effort in and stay focused on our goal and let go of the rest.
And then what are the first things? So someone, let me give you an example. Someone loses their job. Maybe they've also had a personal setback recently, and they're just feeling like nothing is going right.
Right.
What is the first thing they can take control of?
Well, I would say the first thing is I ask people, who can be allies in your life? Let's look around your life. Who can support you? Who can give you more information? Who can you call when you feel desperate? Who can you call? Maybe a champion, one of your friends who can call, and they can remind you of your strengths and remind you of all your accomplishments in life. So a really nice place to start is to look for support and to look for allies. And, you know, just as allies come in all different shapes and sizes, we saw from our story with the bubble chick, she found allies on Yahoo on a bubble group.
So it doesn't, even if you feel like you don't have a strong support system in terms of friendships or family nearby, you can still look at, like, it's sort of an industry support group. Like, there's so many people. That's one thing I'm always surprised by, is that people don't realize how few people actually ask the question.
Right.
So will you help me, or could you share your expertise with me? People tend to say yes to those things. They're just not often asked.
Right.
I just saw an interview with Robert Redford, and he's in this new movie that's sort of like an indie film, and he's been putting on the Sundance Film Festival for years. And for the first time ever, one of the young directors he worked with on the Sundance Film Festival asked him to be in a movie. And he said he said yes, just because it was the first person who's ever asked him.
Right.
And
how
it was
cool
remarkable to think that for years, all these people were around him, and if they had just said to him, you know, Mr. Redford, would you be in my movie? He would have said yes.
Right.
He just said he's never been asked before, and he admired the guy for asking.
Right. And you know, that's just a great takeaway from this call is to really be clear on what you need and to go to people in your life, even if they're not in the first circle, and reach out to them.
Actually, what you just hit on is a huge point, which is that it's not just asking, right? It's being prepared for the conversation. Because when someone approaches you and asks, but they don't know what they want to get out of it, you're less likely to help them, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I would encourage, and I do encourage my clients before they reach out to people to make it clear on what they're asking, because it is overwhelming to get a phone call and just say, help. You know, it feels like a bottomless pit. But
right.
If you can give a concrete of maybe small things that could possibly support you maybe in your job hunt or support you in, you know, figuring out your finances. But if you make it concrete with limits around it, then people are much more apt to say yes and not feel overwhelmed by your challenges.
I love that. That's a great, great point. So Anne, what conditions help people to not only get through that tough situation, but to thrive?
Well, I think a really important thing is attitude. We want people to see challenge as opportunity. Our bubble chick saw the opportunity in the moment. She didn't sit down as a victim and say, oh my God, I have no money, nobody helping me. I mean, she really said, what can I do? And so if you can start to see challenge as opportunity and reframe the chaos that comes with change, because whenever there's change, there's uncertainty, there's fear, and there's chaos. If you can reframe it, there's kind of a funny expression that I use. When someone comes and they're hit by another challenge, I try to reframe it, and I say to them, "That's just call that an AFGO. That's another flipping growth opportunity." It's if you can just take something, bring some humor into it, because we really need to lighten up in this culture. So if you can expect things to come and just say, you know what, that's another flipping growth opportunity, an AFGO, you're reframing what used to feel like a failure, which used to make you want to say, I'm not doing this anymore, to, you know what, bring it on. I've done this, that didn't work, now let's go to the next thing. People start to feel more in control when they can reframe opportunities.
Well, let's talk, I mean, realistically, when someone has a terrible financial situation and they're under financial stress and maybe they're supporting a family, that must be one of the most difficult sort of challenges for you to coach, because there are some real logistics where they're, you know, in danger of losing their home or their, you know, their insurance, whatever it might be. How do you coach people through that?
Well, you start with the same steps. You start with what's in your control and what's out of your control. And coming to coaching is not a guarantee that everything's going to work out. When you come to coaching and people arrive with a situation like that, oftentimes this is the first time that they've had a place and a person who actually listens to their whole picture. When I first meet a client, I do an intake, and it encompasses their entire life. We walk around their entire life. So we're looking at not only challenges, but we're looking for some resources that they may not have seen. And frequently, when people are in frantic situation, they aren't able to see other options because they are frozen with fear. So it's often in coaching when someone feels desperate that if we can just stop and really just do almost like a whole, I call it a mind dump of their life and get it out on paper and let's see what we've really got here that's factual versus fear. And
can you give an example of that, so where you kind of did that mind dump, where I guess you're probably the first safe place a lot of people have had to talk about their whole lives, because no one else in their life is probably, you know, their spouse is probably involved in the financial stress or whatever, and
right.
So you might be the only safe place for them to actually, or, you know, a calming place for them to talk about it. What are the kinds of things that when you do that life assessment you might uncover?
Well, what you uncover is that if you really give people a safe place where they can be heard, I mean, so much of the problems, especially with finance, are really covered with shame and embarrassment and humiliation, and people don't want to talk about those things. But if you actually can give someone, I call oxygen, get the oxygen in there and get the horribles out, then you can see things that weren't visible before. I have a client who is trying to sell a house in another state, and taxes are due, and she was so frantic when she got to our session that all she could focus on was she's going to lose her house. That's it. She's going to lose her house. So we sat down again with the facts, and as she felt more calm and more heard, and I allowed her to get her fears out because they're real. That is a perspective. That's real. She may lose her house. But there are other perspectives. If we stay calm and if we look around, can we find resources? And she started to uncover ways that she had an insurance payment that she had never followed up with to get a payment on something that had been damaged. That was a few thousand dollars. She had an escrow account that she started thinking about if I get money out of there. And so when people can actually, again, do sort of a dump of all the fear and all of the horrible possibilities, then if we could step more into a place of calm and in the present, then they can see different options.
So
that makes
really
sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, I mean, those are the kind of examples, I think, just even hearing her story, that's the kind of story that really helps us. Can you share another story with us?
Sure. I had a a stay-at-home mom, really, really talented artist, successful, talented artist. Her work was beautiful. And she wanted to start showing it and possibly selling it. And she was so stuck in the fact that no one would want it. It wasn't good enough. Why would anyone want this hanging on their walls, you know, that she couldn't proceed with, never mind a business plan, because even before the business plan, she just wanted to get it to juried art shows. And we actually made up a game for her. We said, you got to get 10 no's before the first art show. So 10 no's before the show. And so she had to actually put her fears aside to enter her artwork into shows, and they were juried shows, which are a higher level art show. And she didn't get into all of them. And she said one time she was going to drop off her work at one that she had gotten into, and she said to the woman, oh, I'm so excited, I've already gotten rejected from 7 shows. And the woman taking her artwork said, what are you, nuts? She goes, oh, no, I have to get 10 no's before a show. And we had actually changed her mindset that she expected rejection, because do you know what? That's what you really need to expect. You can't expect to walk in and everyone's going to love that piece of artwork. So she got almost a hardened skin. She became more resilient, knowing to expect no's. And when she got those yeses, we celebrated like crazy. Well, she went on to move on from art shows after she got her feet on the ground and got some to be known in her area. And galleries started asking for her work. And she sold quite a bit of artwork in galleries. So it wasn't until she and I, working together, could start to see as her challenges as opportunities, and really for her to start believing in herself. She needed an I can do it attitude. She needed to feel more confident.
That's what's so interesting. It's not that she got to expect the no's. It's that she literally was no longer afraid of the no's.
Right.
Right. I mean,
right.
You made her unafraid of them. And I think, you know, I work with a lot of women who there's a crisis of confidence when you have not been in the workforce, whether it's from being laid off or from being a stay-at-home mom. When you've been in the workforce for a number of years, you end up developing an insecurity or a fear of working because you just feel incapable because you haven't done it in so long. And
right.
So confidence plays such a big role in that.
Absolutely.
What role do you see confidence playing in terms of, you know, handling change?
Well, I think that when you can start to, again, identify all the negative thoughts that you have about yourself and your artwork and your potential business and start to label them, oh, man, there's my brain again, and start to really start to say, what do I do right? What are my strengths? What are my top values in life? Because we all know if we can align our life and our decisions with our top values, and I spend lots of time helping people to uncover and mine for their top values, because that's where the gold is in life. If you can really align your actions with what you're best at, your essence, then that's when you are most effective and most happy. So we challenge all the negative thoughts so that we also can move people out of the role of feeling powerless and a victim. We want people to feel the confidence that they need to take the actions in their own behalf. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things I like to ask, because you have so many great anecdotes of people you've helped, and you obviously are so wonderful at getting people to sort of embrace change in a successful way. I like to ask this to life coaches, when something goes wrong in your life, what is your support system like? Who have you sort of created around you that you can go to?
Well, that's a great question, because I love to say to all of my clients, I don't ever share tips, techniques, or strategies with you that I am not using in my life. Welcome to the human race. A life coach, and in my life, I have a nice, enriched life full of lots of challenges, lots of adversity, and lots of wonderful things and wonderful people. You know, I'm very lucky to have the International Coach Federation of New England, huge ally of mine. So they're a professional organization that supports coaches in their growth. And if I have questions, I have that whole team of experts that I can call
on. Right. And what about personally?
Personally, well, I have my husband, mm-hmm. who, we're 35 years married. And still like each other, still enjoy each other, and still love to go on adventures together. He's a huge source of support and inspiration and joy.
That's wonderful. And, you know, one of the things that I often talk to women about is when there is a toxic relationship in their home, when they don't have a good relationship with their spouse, it's one of those things that's just, it's a toxic thing that they go home to every day. Mm-hmm. How do you think about that? We don't have much time left, but I just wondered how you talk to women about changing sometimes it's not a professional thing, sometimes it's something at home, a personal relationship that's leading them astray.
Well, I think there are things in life that you can't change. I mean, one of my clients has a terminally ill son. Now, we'd all love to run away from that, you know, and go for happy, happy, joy, joy, but she's there as one of the best mothers in the world doing what she needs to do alongside a really, really difficult situation. So a really underused strategy for people who are under stress like that with challenges that they can't really impact, I ask them to do whatever they can. We try to get them to access positive emotions, because you know negativity and sadness and despair is contagious.
Right.
Just as positivity is contagious. So I work with someone who's really overwhelmed and overcome by some of life challenges that they can't walk from, and I help them to access positive emotions by consciously placing situations into their life and opportunities every day so that they can elevate their spirit, elevate their heart, so then they have the reserve of energy to actually navigate through change and challenge. So that's being able to access positive emotions through things that you enjoy. And it might be as simple for this mom to get out for a walk. It might be as simple to treat herself once a week to, I don't know, whatever it would be that brings her positivity. But
so
we
Anne,
have
Anne,
to,
we,
yes.
I hate to cut you off because I love hearing these stories. One of the things that I just wanted to make sure that our audience comes away with, it's, you know, you have so many nuggets of wisdom that you've shared with us in this half hour. If you could leave the audience with two things that would help them navigate the change or the crises or whatever it is that they're facing, the challenges in their life today, what would they be? Just sort of two nuggets of wisdom that we could all apply to our lives.
Ask your question, what's in my control, what's out of my control, and focus and find what's in your control and you will get towards your goal much quicker. And the other thing is move. Get out and walk. I actually almost require my clients at this point to get movement into their life. Movement, and make it fun. Movement moves the negative energy and the anxiety out of your body so that you are more able to handle your challenges. And it's also the beginning of an upward spiral.
Well, thank you so much, Anne. That was Anne Joles, who was such a wonderful addition to our show this month. Thank you, Anne. You did a great job. And for those of you who want to reach Anne after the show, she is at www.annejoles.com. That's www.annejoles.com. And also, we would love for you to join us on November 20th for our next Office Hours Conference for Women broadcast with Catherine Jewell, and we will be talking about the tips you need to help you survive and thrive in your busy life. We'll talk about what it means to have it all, what it means to have it right, and how to identify three things you can put into action to help you thrive. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be with you next month on November 20th. Have a wonderful month, everybody, and thanks for listening. You can also reach us all month long at Texas Women on Twitter, or Mass Women, or Penn Women. I'm Samantha Ettis. You can always reach me on Twitter as well at Samantha ETTUS. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Take care.